Good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, the state legislature is closed for at least 2 weeks amid the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll speak with Casey Becker, a Democrat from Boulder and Speaker of the House, on what that means and what legislation was left pending before the session was interrupted. Then two regular Wednesday morning features, Make Them Hear You and Naturally with Brigitte Mars. After headlines from the BBC, we'll have a commentary from Jim Hightower. Then at 8:35 this morning, it's the next instalment in our quarterly conflict resolution show. With our current health crisis, we're all faced with living in close quarters for a while. And if we are not conscious as we communicate with each other, that could mean rising conflict in the homes. So please join us at 8:35. You'll get some tips in preventing conflict in families and relationships in the home. And as always, your calls will be welcome. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Here's Jamie Sudler.
Health officials in Colorado announced yesterday that a second person in the state has died from the coronavirus. 23 new cases of COVID-19 in Colorado were confirmed on Tuesday. The total number of positive tests for the illness in the state is 183, with 20 hospitalized. The second death from COVID-19 was a man in Weld County in his 70s. Mountain communities are continuing to see the most serious community spread of the virus, according to the Denver Post, with the highest per capita rates in Eagle, Pitkin, and Gunnison counties. And in Larimer County, a facility with 95 residents had positive tests from a staff member and 7 patients. Yesterday, Boulder County Public Health announced the confirmation of 4 new cases of coronavirus, which bring the total of positive tests in the county to 11. County spokesperson Chana Gusettis told the Daily Camera that it's important to note that some of those did not travel outside of Boulder County and had no connection to others who were ill. This means that the county has officially detected community spread of the virus. The city of Boulder has issued an emergency declaration that limits the size of events or gatherings in publicly owned places to 10 people or less. The county health director said in a statement that it is critically important to keep people from outside one's household at a distance and to avoid meetings with more than 10. City of Boulder buildings remain closed. The Boulder Valley School District is continuing to ask families to limit their children's interaction with other kids, including avoiding play dates, sleepovers, and large groups playing together outside. They suggest solitary activities like bike rides, and anyone who is sick should stay home. Reports from parents in Italy have urged parents to keep their kids and teens home. The University of Colorado in Boulder has canceled its graduation ceremony that was to be held on May 7th. All in-person events for specific departments and schools are also canceled. State officials are attempting to test as many people as possible, but there are still criteria for those who wish to get them. Colorado hospitals and emergency room staffs are beginning to see a surge in patients with respiratory-related illnesses. A spokesperson for the Colorado Hospital Association told Denver 7 that they are seeing a pretty good influx of patients with breathing problems who need to be hospitalized. She also said that most hospitals are not yet at capacity, but they need more supplies and personal protective equipment. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock said on Monday that the shortage of that equipment is so critical that services could be halted as soon as in the next few days if supplies don't come through from the state and federal governments. The Colorado Public Defenders and a coalition of organizations called yesterday for drastic changes to the justice system to prevent introduction of the coronavirus into jails and prisons. The Denver Post reports that a member of the Defender's Office has tested positive. The coalition is recommending ways to reduce the number of people in jails and prisons, including instructing law enforcement to arrest fewer people and requesting judges to release more people from incarceration. Jurisdictions in other states and countries have taken similar steps. The coalition recommended, among other things, that inmates with less than 30 days on their sentences be released immediately, and expanding and expediting releases to parole. Boulder has implemented some of those changes already. Meanwhile, the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment has said that claims for unemployment have soared in the last 10 days as some businesses come to a halt. New claims yesterday were nearly 7,000, up from 400 about a week ago. A spokesperson for the department said that they expect that figure to grow, and they are considering ways to prevent new claims from overloading its online system. 10 people at the ICE Detention Center in Aurora have been isolated for possible exposure to the virus. The agency has suspended social visitation at all its detention facilities. An ICE spokesman told the Colorado Independent that the 10 are not considered sick, but she would not say whether the immigrants or anyone else in the facility has been tested for COVID-19. ICE has said that immigration arrests will continue in Denver despite the outbreak. The Denver Post reports that an immigration attorney confirmed at least 2 arrests over the past week, and at least 2 recent ICE arrests have been made of parents with kids in the Denver public schools. In other news, an equipment failure yesterday at Suncor Energy's oil refinery north of Denver led to a burst of opaque pollution that triggered a company alarm. Operators shut down the problem unit and monitored emissions in surrounding neighborhoods. The company's notice said that the clouds of pollution contained clay-like catalyst material, but it did not specify the possible toxic chemicals in it. The Denver Post reports that yesterday's smoky emissions are the latest in a series of incidents at the refinery. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment said it is closely monitoring the release and will conduct a follow-up investigation. There is a winter storm watch in effect for tomorrow and tomorrow night. Today's weather looks to be mostly sunny with a high near 63 and a chance of showers this afternoon, mainly after 3. Tomorrow it will be rainy before noon and then snow is expected. The temperature will fall to about 33 and snow could continue into Friday. Right now it's about 34 along the Front Range. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
It is 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, the Colorado State Legislature suspended operations last week for at least 2 weeks amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Currently, the Colorado Supreme Court is considering whether the General Assembly can pick off where it left at a later point. There was a lot of business left to be taken care of when lawmakers left the State House some days ago. I spoke with Casey Becker, a Democrat from Boulder and Speaker of the House.
So there's about 260 pieces of pending legislation that are somewhere in the process. And while we are in adjournment, those just end up suspended right where they are. Some big pieces of legislation were the Colorado option, which is the public option. It's a new piece of legislation that would put limits on the costs of reimbursements for hospitals, trying to drive down the cost of healthcare in Colorado and give more options for health insurance throughout Colorado. So that's a pretty big piece of legislation that had its first committee hearing and passed it, but is just going to be suspended for a while. We had vaccination legislation that was going to have a hearing probably this week. That obviously isn't going to happen. There's legislation that didn't get introduced and was still getting worked on, like paid family leave. There's big pieces of legislation to come, like the Long Bill, which is the Colorado legislature, which is the Colorado budget, our entire budget, and how that, you know, that could drastically change given the economic forecast and given a change in priorities. So one of the very last things, though, that I did sign on Friday and sent down to the governor for his signature is the repeal of the death penalty. That is on the governor's desk for him to sign.
One of those pieces of legislation that you mentioned is paid family leave. Now, that, of course, is very much relevant to what we're going through right now, because so many people are looking at having to take time off work to either care for themselves, to self-isolate, or to deal with children who are now at home because the schools have been closed. Does it create more urgency, do you think? Or what? Give us a sense of the paid family leave bill and how that might morph a little bit, or how the conversation might change given what's happening right now.
So it's always been an important piece of legislation. I do think it's more urgent. I think that there's been, it's a difficult program to put together and figure out how to do it. And some states have just said, okay, pay companies start paying family leave for X number of hours. Some have created social insurance models. A lot of states haven't done anything. And so figuring out the right way to do it that protects the most amount of workers, but, you know, is also sensitive to businesses having to, some businesses having to phase into a new mandate. That's kind of the balance that the sponsors have been trying to strike, and it's been hard. We've run this legislation pretty much six years in a row, and it hasn't passed. I think the coronavirus pandemic does bring some real urgency to really making sure we get something passed this year.
You mentioned that the state budget, of course, is going to look completely different given the economic impact of what's happening right now. On Monday evening, Governor Polis said that all restaurants and bars must close for in-house dining. They can continue with some type of delivery or takeout service, but casinos, gyms, theatres, cinemas, all must close completely. We've seen the closure of schools. We've seen the closure of ski resorts, people self-isolating. This has got to have a huge economic impact on the state. Is there any sense, has anybody tried to calculate a dollar amount as to the impact of this? You know, we'll talk about the human, you know, the very personal impact, and particularly on very vulnerable populations already. But has there been forecasts in terms of a dollar amount about what this is going to cost the state?
Sure. So the economic forecast was presented to the General Assembly yesterday. There are two parts of state government that produce independent economic forecasts. Their forecasts varied by about $500 million each, but both of them show significant declines in revenue. And it's the tourism industry, it's hospitality and hotels, a big decline in sales tax, also a big drop in income because oil and gas prices have not been this low in a very, very long time. They've stopped drilling. I think oil and gas prices dropped below $30 a barrel yesterday. So in time, then you'll see a drop in property taxes paid locally to school districts from oil and gas. You'll see a drop in severance tax. So income tax, sales tax, severance tax, property tax, all of those are going to have declines. And I think the question they were highlighting is, we don't know if it's a short-term impact or if it's actually going to lead to a recession and be a longer-term impact. And so the preliminary estimates are there will be a significant loss in state revenue, we're going to have to make a lot of budget cuts. The amount that they're estimating is hard to say, again, because they don't have, this is happening now, it's happening in real time, so they don't have the indicators and the reports yet to show what the impact is. Some of that's going to be delayed, what the layoffs are, what the impact on unemployment insurance is. All of those things come in, you know, a few weeks after they start happening. So we are looking at big budget cuts, probably starting with, you know, cutting a lot of the legislation that we were going to work on this year, probably not doing things like capital construction on state buildings and universities. So there are some things we can look at pretty quickly, and then a lot of it is going to be just a painful look at what we really need to continue and what we can't.
Of course, there's massive economic implications for individuals, families and businesses with all of these closures too. Is there any relief that the state can give, either at a state tax level? I mean, we'll put aside what the federal government may or may not do, but is there any type of relief that can be offered to individuals, families and small business owners in the state?
So there's federal legislation being contemplated now that we expect will provide some real relief to Coloradans. It hasn't passed yet. We hope that it will. We expect that something will pass that'll be a stimulus in Colorado and across the country. What that's going to look like, we just don't know exactly yet. Then Governor Polis has ordered some businesses to provide paid time off. I know a lot of businesses like Xcel Energy and Black Hills Energy are saying that they will not, Denver Water, for instance, are saying that they will not do any cutoffs or anything like that for unpaid bills during this time. So I think that there are a lot of individual business efforts. I know Governor Polis is also leading a philanthropic effort that's going to go to those suffering the most economic impact. And then we will look at legislation when we do come back and we have more vetting of what's needed. And then we see really what the feds are doing and, you know, how we can fill in the gaps.
Obviously, this is all changing very quickly and new updates coming out really almost every hour, it seems. What would you like listeners to really take away from the messaging that they're getting from Governor Polis, from the State Health Department, you know, really what's happening here in Colorado?
Everything you're hearing about the need to social distance is absolutely so important. And I know a lot of people, I live near University Hill. A lot of people are like, oh, that's not, we don't really need to pay attention, or we're young or we're healthy. Everyone has to social distance. And that's just absolutely critical. Going to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment website, CDPHE website, is a great place for information. You know, you can go to colorado.gov and find CDPHE that way. I think that we're all going to have to reevaluate what the response is, and we'll need to be in the next couple of weeks. But I think in the meantime, just staying at home and doing your part to make sure this doesn't spread, because more people are going to get sick and the economic impact will be worse. So those are the messages, you know, just to practice all those safe measures for interacting when you are interacting, washing your hands and not coughing, and all of that is just so important. We really need to make sure as this continues to grow, we don't overwhelm hospitals, we don't overwhelm public health officials.
What about the most vulnerable populations, the homeless, people in prisons? I know people in jails and prisons, there's a huge concern about that. But also immigrants who are currently imprisoned, and what oversight is being done of the private prison facilities and how they're dealing with what's happening with COVID-19?
I don't have updated, accurate information about what is happening in our prisons. I know folks have brought it up with Governor Polis. I know they're on top of it and addressing it. I think they're limiting access, you know, visitation and things like that. So we'll learn more about that in the coming week or so. Vulnerable populations, nursing homes, obviously they're limiting visitors and, you know, exercising extreme precautions. They are the most vulnerable. I know that food banks are requesting and getting a lot of contributions. Of course, schools, Boulder Valley School District is delivering or making meals accessible at certain schools. Sanchez, I think it's Centennial or Creekside, some other schools across the city a few days a week, so that those who need assistance and kids that need meals can get that. There's no verification needed. You can just come and get those meals. So the it's great to see the community stepping up in such a huge way. It's amazing to see. I see on, you know, Nextdoor and things like that, neighbors helping neighbors. You know, what do you need? How can I help? And that's amazing. And now we just need to make sure the social distancing really does happen.
It's Casey Becker, a Democrat from Boulder and Speaker of the House, speaking there about the impact of COVID-19 at a state level. Currently, the Colorado State Legislature is out of session as a result of what is happening. The Colorado Supreme Court is considering whether the General Assembly can pick things up where it left off at a later point and extend the session. And of course, we'll keep you posted on that. We're bringing you updates throughout the day, of course, in the Morning Magazine. Again, just after noon, again at 2:55 for afternoon headlines and at 6 p.m. in the evening. And we are updating our website at kgnu.org with the latest information, but also a lot of resources for people to find out more and linking to some of the official sites like the Center for Disease Control, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, and the newly created official state website on COVID-19. All that information is at kgnu.org. And tomorrow evening from 6 to 7 p.m., we'll host a live call-in show with two virologists, and we'll invite your questions as well. You can call in tomorrow evening, or you can email your questions to dj@kgnu.org. It is 8:24. Stay tuned for Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. Republicans have been much less concerned than the rest of us about the COVID-19 virus. Congressman Devin Nunes is still advising people to keep crowding into pubs. Tobacco cancer denier Rush Limbaugh is, as of Monday, too sick to host his radio show. But even last week, he compared the COVID-19 to the common cold. Not surprisingly, only 9% of Fox News viewers are extremely concerned about the virus. As we practice social distancing, it should be universal, but be especially aware that the habits of some Trump supporters may not be supportive of your efforts if you venture out. One exception is Senator Mitt Romney from Utah, who on Monday proposed giving $1,000 to every American adult each month as lawmakers scramble to try to bolster the U.S. economy amid growing concerns over the coronavirus. $1.5 trillion to the bankers and countless billions more going to big business, but workers out of a job will desperately need these checks, and their consumption will trickle up in our economy. Romney outlined other proposals on Monday, saying that the Senate should pass House-passed coronavirus packages and start working on additional steps. Quote, "We urgently need to build on this legislation with additional action to help families and small businesses meet their short-term financial obligations, ease the financial burden on students entering the workforce, and protect health workers on the front lines by improving telehealth services," Romney said in a statement. The checks would be sent to every American adult to help ensure families and workers can meet their short-term obligations and increase spending in the economy. Congress took similar action during the 2001 and 2008 recessions, Romney's office noted. The House passed a second coronavirus package early Saturday morning. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that he expected senators would want to move swiftly on the House bill, but that discussions were already underway about potential next steps. Quote, "Senate Republicans feel strongly that this bill must only be the beginning of Congress's efforts to support our nation's economy and stand with American families," McConnell said. Romney also wants to provide grants from the Small Business Administration to help businesses continue to pay employees. He's also proposing flexibility for students, including allowing Pell Grants awards to be amended. If you have thoughts on Mitt Romney's proposals, you can contact your congresspeople and senators. This is Chris Moore. Stay healthy. This is Make Them Hear You.
And it's time now for Naturally.
Greetings, welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars to talk about aromatherapy for pleasure and passion. There's so many essential oils out there and so many companies. But if we're thinking about what are ones to use to turn our thoughts to love, pleasure, and passion, I want to rein it in a little bit. We know that fragrance is a gateway to the brain. And our sense of smell is really underused. We might forget what someone looks like, what they sound like, but the smell is something that can linger for decades. And so when we smell something, our nasal cavities are in such close proximity to our brain that smell can really affect our consciousness. So we can use these essential oils in massage by adding them to a carrier oil like almond oil or grapeseed oil. We could add them to the bath. We could wear them as perfume. And so many perfumes out there are really just petrochemicals and very toxic and not good for the environment. So when we choose to use natural essential oils, not only are they going to smell wonderful, but we're also supporting farms and orchards around the planet and indigenous people who are in charge of these things. So some of the essential oils of love. One other thing you might do with them is when you change your sheets, you can sprinkle some essential oils on the bed and turn your bed into a pleasure palace, at least for a few nights. The smell will linger. Cardamom. Wonderful one. Cardamom is a member of the ginger family or the Zingiberaceae family, and it's uplifting. It is a stimulant, a breath freshener, and sweet, pungent, and warming, kind of sexy. I also think of cinnamon essential oil, although I do not recommend applying this directly to your skin because it's very, very hot. It might be something that you dilute in other oils, but cinnamon invigorates the senses, improves circulation. Just smelling it can help to turn on our senses, increase desire and creativity. And bona fide studies actually show that the two smells are actually the most sexually enticing to young men, cinnamon buns and pumpkin pie spice. And what do they have in common? Cinnamon. So we also know that the smell of cinnamon causes people to want to linger longer. So it's a really nice smell to diffuse in a place of business. Jasmine is another one. Jasmine's a member of the olive family, and it is usually not a pure essential oil, but an absolute, but it has a rich sensual fragrance. It relieves stress, helps to remove emotional blocks, calms fears and anxiety, and it's mildly euphoric. And if you've ever seen pictures of Cupid, it's said that the tip of his arrows had jasmine on it. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.